Out your Bibles, and we'll be in the book of Luke. The book of Luke. And hopefully this is not the first time you are hearing this today, but it is Father's Day. Yes, it is. And how many of you have you've already communicated? Okay, that can be verbally. Okay, that can be, communication can happen through gifts, giving of gifts. Showing attention. How many of you have already been able to do some of that this morning to your fathers? Let me see your hand. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. How many of you are going planning? You have plans. You're going to do that. You say, Brother Scott, I'm going to do that later on. It's going to happen. It didn't happen before Sunday school. Don't put your hands up yet. I'm not done, all right? It didn't happen before Sunday school, but it is going to happen. Let me see your hand. Go ahead. Okay. All right. All right. Very good. Just make sure that you take some time to do that, and let's celebrate our earthly fathers today. We're going to take just a second here before we get into what I want to look at in Luke chapter 11, and I want to trace this theme a little bit this morning as I was reflecting just a little bit on Father's Day, and there's something that we need to realize, and that is that as much as we appreciate our earthly fathers, we need to remember that God is not a reflection of our earthly fathers. And I want you to think about this. This is one of those statements you have to think about, okay? God is not a reflection of our earthly father, but rather our earthly fathers ought to be a reflection of him. You say, Brother Scott, why do you say it that way? Well, I don't know about your father, but my father, earthly father, is imperfect. Just how it is. Although I would say he's a man of great character, that doesn't mean that he's perfect and has never done anything wrong. And sometimes we can go to an unhealthy extreme in our minds when we take the analogy of a father and we try to project the imperfections of our earthly fathers onto that of our heavenly father, when actually it should be the other way around. Our earthly fathers should be a reflection of who our Heavenly Father is. Myself and how I treat my children ought to be a reflection of who I know God to be and how I know Him to love. Okay, so when I think about Father's Day, certainly there's an earthly element to Father's Day. In fact, that's the emphasis of the way America celebrates Father's Day. But for Christians, it ought to remind us of the character and the love of our Heavenly Father. And if you are a Christian, if you've been saved, you have a Heavenly Father. Let's trace this thought just for a second. Father's Day should be a day in which we take stock of the fatherly care we've received from our Heavenly Dad, so to speak. Think about this with me. John chapter 14, verse 6, you remember the words of Jesus when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then what did he say? No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. This analogy of the Father and God the Father is given to us throughout the Bible. There's some Old Testament passages as well, but we're primarily going to focus on the New Testament. And of course, we see here John, by way of giving us Jesus' words, draws attention to that relationship that the Father has with his children. So, accepting Jesus places us into the family of God. There are some people that would say, well, we're all God's children. That's not true. That's not true. Because simply based on the passage that we just read in which Jesus tells us, hey, look, the entrance into the family comes by way of me, Jesus Christ, trusting in me. And then by that way, we are gained access, given access and entrance into the family of God. And so if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, then you've been given the privilege of being able to call upon a Heavenly Father. And what a privilege that is. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 9, for one is your Father which is in heaven. We won't take time to turn here, but this is basically Jesus talking to the religious leaders, and some of the religious leaders wanted to be recognized as, hey, call me Father. There's some of that that goes on today. But what does Jesus say? He says, look, that title is reserved for God the Father. Okay, this is important. And does that mean we shouldn't call our earthly dad Father? No, of course not. That's not what he's talking about. But he is talking about the fact that when it comes to a certain degree of authority and respect, God has set Heavenly Father aside as something that is only meant to be a part of his relationship with us. And that's important to us because he tells us to call him thus. Matthew 6 and verse 9, our Heavenly Father, or our Father, which art in heaven. You remember Jesus said when talking to the disciples, how do you want us to pray, Jesus? And he said, well, look, why don't you start with our Father, which art in heaven. So we've seen that who is a child of the Father? Well, the person who has come through Jesus Christ into the family of God. Okay, what else have we seen? We've seen this is a title that God the Father has specifically set aside for a relationship with his children. And then we've also seen that he delights when we call upon him and reference him as thus, God, our Heavenly Father. So we've seen that baseline understanding. But we're in Luke chapter 11, and this is where I sort of want to draw out some principles here of a crisis situation. Now, somebody give me an illustration of a crisis situation. What does a crisis illustration or a situation mean? When I use the word crisis, what am I talking about here? Give me an illustration of a crisis. Andrew? Okay, yeah. I mean, great problem right here, right? A natural disaster taking place. Puts people in chaos. There's crisis at work, okay? Sometimes crisis takes place in the context of a family. And that's what's happening in Luke chapter 11. Go ahead and look with me at Luke chapter 11. And I want us to see here, Luke 15. Luke 15 and verse 11. 15 and verse 11. All right, notice what it says here. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Now, this is the classic passage of the prodigal son. Now, how many of you are familiar with this story? You say, oh, the prodigal son, I know pretty well what that story is. How many of you say that today? Okay, all right, most everybody's hands are up here. And this father here represents that of the Heavenly Father. Okay, and Jesus is giving this parable to help us understand how the Lord views us as his children and the approach he takes in times of crisis. This is a crisis situation. The father has a good relationship with his sons. One of those sons is going to jeopardize that fellowship, and he's going to say, hey, enough of this. I'm out of here. And he leaves the fellowship of the family. And so this is a crisis situation. He says, Dad, give me the money that I've earned. I'm leaving. And so he does that. There would have been pain in the father's heart. There would have been talk amongst the servants. There would have been pain in the brother's heart. Hey, where's my brother going? Why is he leaving? Is he ever coming back? What's he doing? Why is he taking all of his share? Is he going to be gone forever? This is a crisis situation unfolding, but I'll tell you this, some of the principles that we can draw out from this illustration gives us a clear indication of the level of love that God has for us. You know, so much of character is formed in crossroads or crisis situations, right? I mean, if you were to say that Brother Scott is I'm a courageous individual. Now, I don't know why you would say that, but let's just say for a better term, right? Oh, Brother Scott, he's courageous, okay? I saw him slay this lion once. It was amazing, okay? Let's just say that, all right? It would be because of something I did. You follow me, right? If I were just to sit in a chair up here on the platform and every time you saw me, I was in the youth room just sitting in that chair. Okay, would I have earned the term courageous? No, not at all. Okay, you'd be like, boy, what's that guy's problem? Okay, you see what I'm saying here? Love is defined in crisis situations. And I cannot think of a better story to look at when we're thinking about just the love that our Heavenly Father has for us than when we examine a family that is in crisis, so to speak. So I want to give you just a few principles this morning. We may not get to all of them. If you've got your notes, you can write these down. Before we go much further, let's ask for the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the men who have impacted our lives. Lord, we're thankful for Father's Day, if nothing else, Lord, to look back on you and to see the Heavenly Father that you are. Lord, I pray that you would help us to set aside whatever imperfections, Lord, we may see in our earthly fathers, and Lord, realize that, Lord, you are perfect in every way. Lord, I pray that we would see you as you are, and Lord, as we study this illustration, that you would reveal to us more about your loving character as our Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you the first thing here, and I see it here in verse 11. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." So the story's setting up here, but before you get into it, already there's a principle that I want to give you, and that is, number one here, your Heavenly Father's love is not divided. Your Heavenly Father's love is not divided. I don't know if you've ever felt like this. If you have a sibling, maybe you're an only child, maybe your situation is different, but I had a sister growing up, 18 months older than me, and there were times where I felt like, as a kid, my parents loved her more than me. You say, now, why would you think such a thing? Well, there were some times she got more privilege than I got. Maybe she'd get to stay up later. Boy, that was hard. I mean, she was older, but not too much older. And so, you know, that's the big question as you're a kid and you're getting older. Like, I just had a birthday. Does this mean I could stay up like an hour later? No. Oh, okay. Yeah, but she maybe she has a birthday. Okay. Now they're going to let her stay. Well, you're going to let her stay up later. Come on. Don't you love us equally? You know, this would be the kind of thing that I felt like. All right. As a kid, I wondered, hey, you know what? Why don't you just love me? Okay. Look, yeah, you just pick one. Love me. Okay. You know, and sometimes we can feel like that. I often think about the big families. And like, if I felt that way as just having one sister, I mean, what would I have felt like if I had 10? Like, wow, that probably would have been a real challenge for me. You say, Brother Scott, you're so selfish. Yeah, I probably was. All right. But nonetheless, in an earthly situation, sometimes we can look and we say, well, you know, do my parents really love me like they like them? You know, love her. But look, notice this. The father that is pictured in this passage loves both of his sons equally, and he loves them fully. If you notice the love that he has for the son that goes away, right? Takes his substance, leaves the house. Like, where's the appreciation for the father? Where's the respect for the father? Where's the, hey, dad, what should I do? He just leaves. That father loved him through that. So what happens with the other son? Well, the other son doesn't leave. And you remember at the end of the illustration here, the story loops back around to that second son who is like, dad, you know, this guy, he squandered his substance. Now he's come home. You've killed the fatted calf. You've given him this stuff. Let's hurrah and let's go. But dad, I mean, look at me. I'm still here. What does the father say? He says, son, you know that you have all that is mine. I still love you. There's no love that's divided in the family of God. God does not look down and say, well, you know what? I love Josiah because X, Y, and Z more than I do James. God doesn't operate on that type of economy or system. God loves each and every one of his children equally and fully. Boy, what a blessing that is. Well, you know, I think about the passage that says, he loved us before we loved him. Or from the moment that the Lord chose to love you, he chose you to love you, chose to love you with a perfect and a full love. Boy, it's not divided. James chapter 1 and verse 17, I think it is. Listen to this verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Boy, His love, the Father's love, the Father of lights, His love does not turn. It's not divided. Your Heavenly Father's love is not divided. This father had two sons. Both of them in his family, he loved both of them dearly. Notice number two, your Heavenly Father is the source of all you have. Your Heavenly Father is the source of all you have. Look here at verse 12 and 13. Look at the next couple of verses here. And the younger of them, and these are of the sons, said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country. Okay, so what's the point? Your Heavenly Father is the source of all you have. Everything this boy knew, had experienced, and possessed was given to him by the Father. Boy, you know, that's us. Boy, that's us. You as a Christian, a saved human being, have what you have because of God the Father. The thoughts that you think in your brain are because God gave you a brain, right? The context in which you have been placed in a very prosperous part of the United States of America. You're here in Northern Virginia. Well, did you choose that for yourself? No. God gave you the brain and gave you the place that you are today. And then this son goes out and he takes the money that his dad gives him, and he goes and squanders it. Okay, the stuff that we have, the possessions that we have, boy, we're given that opportunity because of the Father. And what a blessing that is! Your Heavenly Father's love, it's not divided. Your Heavenly Father is the source of all you have. Well, I think that's such a neat thing when you think of God as our Father. He's given us so much. Notice number three here as we move down through the illustration. You'll notice your Heavenly Father's love is not disrupted by His knowledge of your sin. Your Heavenly Father's love is not disrupted by His knowledge of your sin. Go on down with me here, because we see that very quickly this man turns to sinful living. And you'll see in he took his journey in verse 13, but verse 14, and when he had spent all he had, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You know, the interesting thing about this illustration is that there's never a point in which your Heavenly Father wants you to leave home. And now think about that, okay? Because this is so different than hopefully the home you're living in, okay? There came a point when my dad was ready for me to be out of the house, okay? Now, he loves me. Okay, I know he loves me. All right, but there also came a point where I wanted to be out of the house. Yeah, I was looking forward to that. Hey, life, let's go. You know, there will come a point where your parents will say, "Melody, you're 45 years old. It's time to go." Okay, all right, probably not that old, okay? All right, but there will come a point, and that is a natural thing, okay? It is a very natural thing, okay? But that's not how it is with being in the Father's house. For the Christian, the Father's house symbolizes fellowship. It symbolizes being in the will of God, okay? Abiding in Him. Yeah, that's what it symbolizes. And there's never a moment where God the Father wants us to be separated from Him. So in that sense, He wants us to be at home with Him always. And certainly, that makes a difference when we think about our situation here. But your Heavenly Father's love is not disrupted by His knowledge of your sin. So what's happening here? The son decides to go out and pursue other things. He's obviously moving himself out of the perfect will of the Father. He goes and pursues those things. And I just wonder, as the Father is giving the substance, you know, he knew that the son was going to misuse what he was giving him. And that's amazing to me, because he never once stopped loving him. And God the Father is the very same way with us. Although he has given us a body, a brain, and all of the resources that we have, he understands that we will use them inappropriately. He understands that we will misuse them. And he never stops loving us. You know, if my boys, let's just say that, you know, for the next several years, they just chose to not do what I wanted them to do. That would be very hard. There is a connection that a father has with his kids that I think is really hard for someone who does not have a child to understand. One day, if it be the Lord's will, most of you in this room will understand what that is. But if my kids decided they just weren't going to do what I said for an extended period of time, that would be hard. There may be some days in there where it would be hard to love them, even though they're my child and it's the right thing. But never once, God the Father, having a perfect knowledge of your life, both in the past, presently, and in the future, never once has he struggled in his heart to love you fully. He just does. And yet he has a perfect knowledge of the wrongdoing. Now, there's several ways that we can react to this. Hopefully the right way is to say, wow, what a Savior. What a Lord. What a Heavenly Father you are, and I want to love other people with that kind of unconditional love, and I don't want to stray from your will. But Paul addresses the fact that sometimes people can interpret that different ways. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I want you to see this, because the situation or the question was posed, and Paul addresses this. Romans chapter 6. Notice the question. Romans 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So what is Paul saying? He's saying, hey, look, if God already knows that we're going to do wrong and that we are imperfect, if God's grace covers our sin and he loves us still, doesn't that give us liberty to just do what we want? But notice what he says in verse number 2 of chapter 6. He asks the question, which is, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that just grace may abound? Verse 2, Paul says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, we once served sin, we now serve the Lord. And our thought process should not be, well, the Father's going to love me through it, so I choose sin. No, the thought process should be, boy, God forbid. Lord, keep me from that. Your Heavenly Father's love is not disrupted by his knowledge of your sin. What a blessing. Look at the fourth thing quickly. Back to Luke chapter 15 here. Luke chapter 15. So we draw things to a close. Verse 17. Luke 15 and verse 17. Story continues, and the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants, now he's remembering, how many of my hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare and to perish, and I perish with hunger. I'll arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and before thee I'm no worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. The fourth thing here, nothing can take the place of sweet fellowship with the Father. You know what the son is realizing here? is there is no substitute for great fellowship with God. He's realizing that. There's no substitute whatsoever. I love sour gummies. How many of you love sour gummies? You don't care what kind they are. If they're gummy and they're sour, right up your alley. You like it. Okay. All right. A few godly people in the room. I love sour gummies, but I'll tell you, there is one sour gummy that beats everything else out. Okay? If you ever come across some atomic sour gummy bears, buy all that you can. Okay? They only sell them in a few specialty shops, but they're just, it's the tops as far as I'm concerned. I looked at buying some online, but it was going to be too costly. I just couldn't get myself to do it. However, we were in the mall with the youth workers one day, and I ran into a candy store. Lo and behold, atomic gummy bears. I almost bought all they had. I think Chase, Brother Chase and Brother Nathan were kind of like, what's happened to Brother Scott? He's gone off the rails here. My point is, no substitute, okay? I like Sour Patch, okay? And I will eat them, okay? But wave an atomic sour gummy in the air, and man, I will jump pretty high, okay? There's just no substitute. And it took a little while, but what the Son has realized that there is absolutely no substitute, none at all, for fellowship with the Father. And that's what he remembers. He remembers that fellowship. You know, sometimes we think about team camp, and so many of our thoughts revolve around, boy, drawing closer to the Lord. What a blessing it is, the Spirit at team camp among everybody, being in the cabin, hearing devotionals, being in the services, hearing the Word of God preached. And we can have fond memories of those moments in which God works in our life and those moments where we draw closer to him in sweet fellowship. But you know, we can have those moments of sweet fellowship at home. We can have those moments of sweet fellowship at college. We can have those moments of sweet fellowship and be in sweet fellowship with him often. And that's what he remembers. And what a blessing to know that our Heavenly Father, nothing can take the place of sweet fellowship with the Father. It took a pig pen in order for the Son to realize what he had in the Father's house. Let's not make the same mistake. Let's look at the last thing here in verse number 20, and we'll draw things to a close. Verse number 20, let's go ahead to it. You see what the Bible says here. And he arose. He came to his father. Notice what's going on with the father here. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Last thing I want us to see here is when fellowship is broken, God is always waiting for our return. You say, what kind of love does God the Father have for me? You really see it so pronounced in this crisis situation. Okay? Now, that love continues whenever we're in sweet fellowship with him. That love continues when wherever we are in his perfect will. But you see here, the illustration of a father perched on a hill, looking out across, anticipating, waiting for that moment where fellowship can be restored. And that's the type of God the Father, Heavenly Dad, that we all have. Someone who is eager to talk to you. Someone who is eager to have fellowship. Someone who is eager to extend his love and blessing and care and compassion and support and affection and on and on and on it goes. Lord, help me to be that kind of dad to my kids. But at the same time, help me to keep front and center the reality of who my Heavenly Father is and how he loves me as his child. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the chance to study you today. Lord, there are many things that can disrupt our image of you, our viewpoint of you. Lord, sometimes we think thoughts that are wrong. Sometimes, Lord, we have a projection of you that is inaccurate. And Lord, it is only your word, it is only your truth that can bring us back to where we need to be. I pray, God, that we would have been today in Sunday school confronted with who you are as our heavenly dad. And Lord, that we would remain in perfect fellowship. We would remain inside the confines of your perfect will. And Lord, we wouldn't stray for anything. Lord, encourage our hearts today. Help us to do a good job, Lord, of appreciating, Lord, our earthly fathers. And we'll give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.